For those of you who haven't come before, we do a 10-minute on orthodoxy talk before the actual Bible study, which I think Evangelos is giving today. So I've been asked to do 10 minutes on orthodox icons. Okay. Just before I do, has anyone been on an icon course before I try and say things that you're already aware of? Cree has. Yes? No? Good? Okay, good. All right. I mean, there is so much that can be said about icons. I'm going to try and squeeze something into 10 minutes. But I suppose the most important two things that I want to say are what icons are useful. What are their function in the Orthodox Church? And really, there are only two things that they really do. Probably there are little subsidiaries, but two main things. One is to reflect our beliefs as Orthodox Christians, and I'll explain what exactly I mean by that. So one is to reflect what our understanding and beliefs are in the Orthodox Church. And two, and probably the more important, is to remind you to pray. And I don't mean anything more than remind you. And again, I'll explain what I mean by that. In fact, I'll explain what I mean by that straight away. You see, icons are not the genuine article. And what I mean by that is that, obviously, an image of Christ is not Christ himself. It's simply a reflection of Christ. It's simply a depiction of Christ. And actually, the word icon, which comes from the Greek word eikon, but it's not spelled A-C-O-R-N, it's E-I-K-O-N, eikon, literally means image or reflection. So what we use icons for are not to somehow produce this thing that we then believe is the genuine article. Because you often see people kissing icons and you wonder, are they worshipping these things? They're not. Icons in the Orthodox Church are not worshipped. When you see people kissing them or bowing in front of them, they're simply venerating the person who's been depicted, whether it's a saint or Christ. But as objects, they are not the genuine article. They are simply paintings that have a function to remind you to pray. And and they often are called, there's this phrase that's used as a meditation about icons, said to be, they're windows to heaven. And I suppose by that definition, they also define what they're not. They're not, as I said, the genuine article. They're simply windows to heaven. And when you look at icons, especially icons in the Orthodox Church, icons in the Orthodox Church, they're always abstract. And to someone who's never seen an icon before, someone who's never considered why they're abstract, they always think, why do icons look weird? Why are they in an abstract style? Why can't they just be realistic? Why isn't Christ, you know, painted in a realistic way? And you'd often see paintings of Christ in a realistic way. Now, there are two main differences between paintings of Christ made in a realistic way, which you'll see particularly in Western churches, and if you go to the National Gallery, you'll see hundreds of them, and Orthodox icons being abstract and these being very realistic. And the most important thing about Orthodox icons to remember, comparatively speaking, is they always try and have a very common denominator. The style itself is not trying to tell you exactly what Christ looks like, because the fact is, you will never see Christ as I do, and you'll never see Christ as she does. We'll always have a very slight difference between us, how we view Christ when we close our eyes and we have our inner imaginings of what Christ looks like. So an Orthodox icon is abstract because it tries to just put aside all the very fine details about Christ's face that we don't really know about. We know a few things. We know he was a man. We know he was Jewish, therefore he was likely to have a beard. We know that he had dark hair, quite possibly or quite probably long from some of the historical accounts that we have. But apart from that, really, we don't know much. So that's why in Orthodox icons, we keep this very abstract style, just to give you the bare essentials of Christ, or just to give you the bare essentials of a human we knew about then. Whereas you'll see, obviously, in Western iconography or Western paintings of Christ or of the saints, they're post-Renaissance, quite realistic. But we don't believe in the Orthodox Church that really reflects us as a community and our pure imaginings, individual imaginings of Christ. So we keep things relatively geometric and abstract, and they've been that way since the beginning since Christ was with us, actually. There are a few icons that date right back to Christ's time. The most obvious is that which we've all heard of, where Christ pressed his face against the cloth while he was on his way to Calvary. And although is unlikely that we see the cloth till today. The Shroud of Turin potentially is that very cloth, if not the cloth that was kept in his tomb. But there are also a couple of sculptures that date back to Christ's time, and one of them is supposedly by the woman who had the bleeding, the woman who touched him, and she was cured of the bleeding. Eusebius, who is a bishop in the early church, who wrote a very famous history of the church, noted that he'd seen that sculpture. So we do have examples of icons dating right back from Christ's time. And St. Luke, as some of you may know, is said to have been probably the first iconographer in terms of having made a painting of Christ and of the Virgin. And so most icons you'll see now of the Virgin and Christ rely effectively on what he had done as a pre-example to what we should do for that subject. I'll just circle back to something that I want to say, in that icons, although the word means image, it's interesting how, although they are images, they are also objects. You know, they are pieces of thick wood. They're made of wood, they're made of organic material, paint pigment, and actually we use eggs in the paint we paint icons with. And as a sculptural object like that, they in themselves reflect how we feel about Christ's incarnation. In fact, without Christ being incarnate, really, we don't have an allowance, or we can't really allow ourselves to paint icons. What I mean by that is, if we harken back right to the book of Exodus, God told us, don't paint icons of the heavenly things, because no one's ever seen God, and quite rightly, how can we paint something we've never seen? It was only after Christ's incarnation that we can really dare start to paint images of Christ, because he who is inconceivable, he who is invisible, has suddenly became conceivable, depictable, decipherable. We can see him, therefore we can paint him. And so that's an important thing, or really an important argument against those who say, you know, why are you producing images of Christ and the saints when God himself said don't make images of Christ and saints? It's only after Christ's incarnation, really, that the Orthodox Church decided then, well, he's been here, we've seen him, therefore we can paint him. And as an object in itself, as I said, because it's something heavenly, or it depicts something heavenly, yet in itself it's something we can touch and feel, it itself is a reflection of what Christ was. Heavenly, but yet somehow he became decipherable, he became seeable. We could see him, we could touch him. And so icons as a sculptural piece, as an object, are a true reflection of Christ, and therefore a true reflection of how we feel about Orthodoxy. And just lastly, to go back to the very first point about the functionality of an icon, it's to encourage you to pray. As I said, an icon isn't Christ himself. It's just an image, a depiction of Christ. But in its kind of abstract style, it tries to remind you, oh, that's Christ. Now I'm going to close my eyes and go to my own pure imaginings of Christ, or God, or of the saints, and pray. But it's not in itself the genuine article. So if you ever see anyone kissing or bowing to an icon, don't be deceived into thinking they're worshipping it as an object. They're not. Only venerating the person inside.